wrong to spank your kids? Hi, I'm Julie Roys, and this is Up for Debate. Well, the Presbyterian Church USA last week passed a resolution calling for the end of corporal punishment. Supporters of the resolution say spanking encourages violence towards children and leads to increased aggression and anxiety. One supporter, Dr. George Holden, a psychology professor, joins me this morning. However, Danny Huerta, a staff counselor with Focus on the Family, disagrees with the resolution. He argues that spanking, when used correctly, can be an effective disciplinary tool. We'll hear from both Danny Huerta and Dr. Holden, but first, here's a news story on the topic by reporter Marissa Mitchell of ABC 33 in Birmingham, Alabama.
Pastor Sid Burgess of Edgewood Presbyterian Church supports the General Assembly's resolution because he says it's biblically based.
What Jesus does say is, let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs.
Opponents to the resolution hold up a different scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child. Burgess says that scripture too often is taken out of context.
Rod actually means staff, a decorative staff of authority. It doesn't mean the switch or the whip.
Frank Barker, pastor emeritus at Briarwood Presbyterian Church, which is governed by the Presbyterian Church in America, or PCA, believes the resolution crosses the line.
I think that's overstepping the role of parents, and of course the church is supposed to help parents, but I'm not sure that's helpful at all. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die.
Burgess, though, says all the church is trying to do is guide parents, which in turn benefits their children.
There is a temptation to focus on one or two of my favorite verses or one or two of your favorite verses rather than on the overall biblical themes of love and mercy and grace.
So does the Bible support corporal punishment or not? And does spanking children somehow violate biblical principles of love and mercy? Again, I'm Julie Roys, and you're listening to Up for Debate. And if you'd like to weigh in on this issue, the number to call is 312-274-9624. Again, that's 312-274-9624. Well, joining me now is Dr. George Holden, a psychology professor at Southern Methodist University. Dr. Holden also has served as the chair of an international conference to end corporal punishment. So good morning, Dr. Holden, and welcome to Up for Debate.
Good morning.
So now, as I understand this, the resolution that was passed by the Presbyterian Church USA at their General Assembly, you wrote sort of the rough draft that your presbytery then took to committee and then was eventually adopted. Is that correct?
Correct. My wife is a Presbyterian pastor, and I'm a Presbyterian, and we both co-authored sort of the initial draft, right? Mm-hmm. And then it went through a series of revisions, and so it's the current form is really a expression of the really General Assembly rather than the initial draft that we wrote.
Well, let me just read that. It says, the General Assembly encourages its members to adopt discipline methods at home, in schools, pediatric facilities, and institutions, for example, hospitals, orphanages, clinics, and child care facilities that do not include corporal punishment of children. And second item, the Presbyterian Church USA calls upon all states to enact licensing laws prohibiting corporal punishment in schools and day and residential child care facilities. So it sounds like, at least from this resolution and understanding that you helped author it, you really think in all cases corporal punishment, spanking, these things, just completely inappropriate. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm convinced that there's absolutely no reason that anyone ever needs to strike a child. And in fact, there's 31 countries have totally banned all forms of corporal punishment, and more than 100 countries have totally banned it in the school system.
Hmm. And those countries, I would guess, a number of them European countries?
Yeah, they range from African. Most recently, several African countries have
joined
on, but also New Zealand, and countries really around the world. It's a growing movement that as people better understand that there's better methods, that corporal punishment is associated with a variety of unintended negative consequences on children, that people realize, and also it's a violation of children's rights not to be hit, just as we accept the our adult right not to be hit by anyone else. I think we also need to recognize that children have that right not to be hit.
So in these countries, and what you're lobbying for, although the resolution does not go this far, but do you want to make it illegal for parents to be able to spank their own children in their own home?
Well, my view is it's more of an educational process. I'd like to convince people, and I think I can, as they read more and hear more about corporal punishment, that they can ideally decide on their own, but it's really never needed and it's counterproductive.
Well, I'll give you a chance to try and do that with our listening audience, but I want to bring Danny Huerta on the line right now. He's a licensed social worker and counselor with Focus on the Family. Danny has worked as a social worker in a low-income school district, directed a mentor program at a child placement agency, and also served on the faculty of Pikes Peak Community College. So good morning, Danny. Welcome to Up for Debate.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. This is a privilege to be able to be on the line.
Well, I'm glad you can join us, and I'm glad that Focus on the Family, I guess their phone system went out, but you're still able to join us.
That's right. I went to church, Living Hope Church. But, yeah, it was the first time that's happened in 8 years. They were all down.
So right before our show. Yeah.
Right before the show. That's great. So, hey, can I do a shout-out to my my son, he's listening, Alex, and my daughter, Lexi, they're listening in.
So maybe they'll be like my kids, because I asked them around the table last night. Of course, I got two teenagers and a 10-year-old girl, and I said, do you think you should, you know, mommy and daddy should spank you, or do you think you'll spank your kids someday? And my son said, I'll spank my boys, but not my girls. And then my daughter said, yeah, I don't think you should spank girls. That's what she says.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's great.
So, Danny, what do you think of this resolution? You've had a chance to read through the full document, I suppose. Do you think it goes too far?
I think so. I think it's extreme. You know, life needs to be in balance. There's two extremes to this viewpoint. There's ones that believe, you know, you should spank all the time, and then there's some that believe no spanking at all. Focus on the Family really lands more towards the middle of that it needs to be used, but infrequently. Infrequently being maybe once, twice, three times in a child's life, you know, lifetime. So it's not with large frequency. It's a very, and just by the way, George did mention that in Africa, they had just passed that. It was a couple of them in 2010 that did that. So he's absolutely right.
And is it illegal to spank children at all in those countries? And which ones are they?
It was Congo and Kenya, I believe. In 2010.
And is it illegal to spank at all, Dr. Holden?
Yes.
Homes?
Yeah, it is not, as I understand it, it's not a crime. They will not throw you in jail. But it's really designed, these laws are really designed to get people's attention and to inform them that they don't need to use this technique. It's not advisable, and there are as I say, there's better approaches to child rearing.
All right. Well, now
I want to respond to that. I just want to say that children, you know, in my private practice, when I've worked with families and also just with my own, and over time, just looking at between the ages of 18 months and 6 years, it's an appropriate option within the, it's not the only option. Within our own home, we have a tally system, a marble system. We have spanking. It was an option. Now they're 7 and 9, so we've kind of moved past that. But really, in reality, a child that's 2 and 3, a timeout is not going to really change the heart of the child. But a child is really born with a criminal intent. If you look at an infant, they have such intense emotions. They don't know how to regulate themselves very well, and they rely on the adults to help them regulate. And many times, the adults are the ones that are out of control, and that's when corporal punishment becomes an issue. And really, if you look at a lot of the research that's been done on this, none of the studies can be replicated because there's so many variables that you have to consider when looking at these studies. I mean, it could be the parents' background, their history, a lot of things that really are impossible to control. So really, when they're saying that in research that maybe it can create violence and substance abuse, there's a lot more to it. There really needs to be a relationship between a parent and their child in order for corporal punishment to work well.
I want to take us to Scripture, because to me, as believers, that is our starting point.
Definitely.
I know, Dr. Holden, you make the arguments. You have an article called 10 Reasons I Can't Spank, which, by the way, if you want some of these articles and resources, if you go to our Facebook page, we'll tell you how to get them or either link them on our Facebook page. You just go to www.upfordebate.org and you click on the Facebook tab. Again, upfordebate.org and click on the Facebook tab. And one of the articles you wrote, or actually that you sent to us, it's not one that you wrote, but it's called 10 Reasons I Can't Spank, and it makes the argument that Scripture and the whole, you know, counsel of the Bible does not encourage any corporal punishment. Dr. Holden, would you explain that? Because I think a lot of people read a lot of these verses on face value and, you know, don't spare the rod, spoil the child. It sounds pretty straightforward. How do you respond?
Well, I have lots of responses. First, spare the rod, spoil the child is not in the Bible. That actually came from a poet, Samuel Butler. But what is in the Bible is five proverbs that refer to the rod of correction.
It says, spare the rod. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 13:24.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
But the translation of the rod is open to question, as the opening segment indicated. Some people interpret the rod as really referring to guidance, which is how I would think of it. Also, the rod, biblically, with the use of sheep, I was a shepherd for 4 months in my earlier life, and no shepherd has ever hit a sheep with the rod. So it's really used much more, I think, can be thought of much more appropriately as guidance. And parents certainly need to discipline and guide their children, but they should do it in a loving and child sort of friendly way, so that along the lines of the New Testament, and, you know, obviously no one could ever imagine Jesus hitting a child. He would have disciplined with love and guidance and tenderness.
Mm-hmm. Although when he drove the money changers out of the temple, he was using force in that case.
Right, but he certainly, if you read...
he got a whip, didn't he? I mean, that seems like in that case he's using pretty strong physical force to drive people out of the temple.
Right, adults, but not children. And in Ephesians, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example. And certainly when most children who are interviewed about corporal punishment say it makes them angry, it makes them sad, it makes them confused why a parent who they love and who professes to love them is actually hurting them.
Mm.
So it's just not conducive for positive parent-child relationships.
Well, that's Dr. George Holden, a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University. Also joining me this morning, Danny Huerta, a staff counselor at Focus on the Family. If you'd like to weigh in, just call 312-274-9624. Again, that's 312-274-9624. Or you can email us, upfordebate@moody.edu. That's upfordebate@moody.edu. Coming up next, we'll hear from a leader in the Presbyterian Church who witnessed the behind-the-scenes debate on that controversial spanking resolution. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Coming up on the next Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., God takes you to places you've never been so he can do for you things he's never done. Let me say it this way. The chains rock the game. That's it.
If we're surrendered to God, he won't waste the pain in our life. Join us for the next Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr. Weeknights at 9:30 on 90.1 Moody Radio Chicago.
Hi, I'm Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global with Lessons for Leaders. According to a survey by First Option, here are the biggest complaints about corporate meetings, and it's true for faith-based organizations too. Drifting off the topic. Lack of leadership. No natural daylight. That's interesting. Meeting for meeting's sake. The broken record. Running over allotted time. Meetings with no purpose. Interruptions from phones and pagers. And, this is interesting, refreshments not refreshed regularly. Well, aside from all of this, we recognize how God is pleased when colleagues dwell together and work together in harmony, and meetings can help foster that harmony. May we be like the first century leaders in the New Testament who were together in one accord, and they weren't talking about cars. Lessons for Leaders is a production of Moody Radio and HCJB Global. For transcripts, visit our website, hcjb.org.
If you want to buy a new car, you got to test drive it, right? Well, isn't that the same with marriage? Isn't living together a good thing?
On the next Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, a best-of broadcast with Focus on the Family's Glenn Stanton. What are the hidden consequences of cohabitation?
If you're considering moving in together with your significant other, don't miss the next Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman.
Saturday at noon here on 90.1 FM, Moody Radio, Chicago.
To spank or not to spank? That's a question this morning on Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royce. And joining me this hour is Danny Huerta, a counselor with Focus on the Family, who believes spanking, done correctly, can be an effective disciplinary tool. However, the Presbyterian Church USA disagrees with Danny. It passed a resolution last week calling for the end of all corporal punishment in schools, child care facilities, and homes. Also joining me this hour is Dr. George Holden, who helped author that controversial resolution. And just before the break, Dr. George Holden was making the argument from Scripture, what he believes is an argument against spanking and corporal punishment. I want to give Danny a chance to respond to that. So, Danny, briefly, how do you respond when, you know, to these objections that Jesus would never hit a child in the Old Testament? Well, we're in more of a New Testament type ethic right now that maybe spanking, corporal punishment is outdated.
You know, when we look at Scripture, it very much deals very, pretty violently with sin. I would say that it's not in the violence that we would see today in the movies where you're looking to abuse a child, but to correct it. And I would see Jesus correcting a child and directing. We see the Scripture says that you need to have a rod and you're disciplining a child with. It says to discipline the child, and so that's open for a lot of interpretation. And if you look at the idea of time out, we don't have that in Scripture either, or any other form. It talks about discipline and correction of sin, and he deals very strongly with sin. And we're born with a sin nature. And at the age of 2-3 years old, there's the child is not able to really understand the we concept of the relationship. It's everything me-centered. And so whenever you say, hey, you're going to have a timeout, and it's usually a two-minute timeout, they don't get the concept on a very strong emotional desire. You know, if they want something really bad or they're extremely defiant, a timeout's not going to really correct that behavior in the future.
Yeah, I had trouble with my sons keeping them on timeout.
Right.
That was a challenge.
A lot of parents do say that, and really with a SWAT, especially if there's a good relationship, and, you know, getting belts, and that really gets a bit over the top, but just a SWAT where they go, oh, no, I mean, this was really a significant wrongdoing, then they really get it. And it's an equal response from the parent to the emotional desire inside the child, and there's a thought in the child, I don't want to do that again, because it was a very intense, very strong moment of emotion where, yeah, they were unhappy, but they did something really wrong, so they should be unhappy. I mean, our prison system is a timeout system, and it doesn't necessarily work.
Hmm. We have a number of people on the line. I want to get to those calls. We have Chris from Woodridge. Good morning, Chris. You're on Up for Debate. What's your comment?
Well, just like the gentleman just said, I mean, I have a two-year-old, and if my two-year-old is going towards the oven and my wife's cooking, I can swat her and tell her no and instruct her that that will be more painful than the swat, or I could encourage her to not touch the oven. You know, when you spank in love, you're letting a child know that there is a consequence in life for wrong behavior. I have a two-year-old, and I also have a 12-year-old. My 12-year-old is no longer at the spanking age, where with our relationship now, he's kind of moved past that age. But throughout his life, as there was times, you know, it was never an angry thing. It was sitting him down, talking to him, explaining to him what he did wrong, and then asking him, you know, what do you think? And he would say, I think I probably need a spanking. He didn't say it every time. He didn't say it every time, but he definitely said it. I remember one time, you know, I said, you know, did you get the lesson or should I spank you again? And he was crying. And he said, you should probably just spank me again.
Oh, boy, I've never had that situation before. Chris, thank you for your comment. So today, would you say your kids are better off because you spanked them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Chris, for your comment. Dr. Holden, I want to give you a chance to weigh in. What do you say to these comments?
If spanking was that effective, then parents would only need to spank very rarely. As Danny suggested, only one, two, or three times in a child's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is parents are spanking many times a week and many times, and they were spanked for the same behavior because children at age 2 and 3 and 4 do not have the cognitive power, control, and self-regulation to be able to control their behavior. One of the problems with spanking, in my view, is if you think about it from a child's perspective, when a parent hits the child, yes, feels the pain and then has an emotional reaction to that. And they focus on that pain and that emotional reaction. They don't focus on the message that the parent is giving. And that
Well, they do, though. I mean, I'm thinking I was spanked as a child. I don't know. Were you spanked as a child?
I remember one paddling.
Okay. Well, I remember more than one, but I can't. I wouldn't say that that at that moment I was that teachable.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I would go up to my room. It was always I would be sent to my room. My father would come when he got home, and sometimes that could be a while. I'd spend there thinking about what I'd done wrong, and I knew precisely because in my home there weren't a lot of rules, but the ones that were there were not to be transgressed. And so I'd be sent to my room. I did a lot of thinking about what I did wrong. So my dad came home, and he wasn't angry because, frankly, he wasn't usually involved in it. It was usually, you know, my mom was the one that sent us to our room. He came in. It was always the same amount of spanks, no matter what, and he would ask me, you know, if I knew what it was. I can remember going up to my room. I was really angry about that for about 15 minutes, and then it was over, and I can honestly say I can't remember a time where I didn't feel like I deserved it. And so, you know, it was teachable. I mean, I don't know.
But did you need the spanking?
Me? Well, I'll just speak for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty strong-willed person. I know that's probably hard to imagine. They're laughing here in the studio. but my mom used to have a saying, and she says nowadays, you know, you probably wouldn't want to say this, but she used to have a saying that you break the will but not the spirit. And I would say in my home, there was sort of a breaking of that willful, rebellious heart, which was pretty strong in me. But never I felt the spirit. I felt like my home was very loving, very welcoming, really loved me for who I was, and actually affirmed my strong will, but channeled it.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I would say I felt like it was effective. I mean, obviously not that effective in all circumstances. I mean, Dr. Holden, do you think that it can never be used effectively?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
My concern is not with the good parents, like mm-hmm. sounds like your parents, or Danny, who recommends just using it very, very rarely. The problem is most parents out there who are using it are misusing it. They're using it when they're angry. They're repeatedly hitting their child. I have some new data where we recorded parents in their home. One parent spanked 11 times in succession when she was angry with her child for just very minor misbehavior.
Mm.
So the big problem is parents who misuse it. Occasionally even the parent who very rarely uses it, if they totally blow up and totally lose control, it can result in child abuse.
Mm. We have a number of people waiting on the line. I want to get to some of these calls. We have Nancy from Bloomingdale. Good morning, Nancy. You're on Up for Debate.
Hi. Yes. I do agree with when you say discipline, it just depends on what the Bible means by discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And any sort of discipline can be abused, even yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Can be very damaging.
Good point. Yeah, I've seen that before. And Dr. Holden, you were talking about people using the spanking abusively. I've seen these moms who will say, in fact, I was just listening online to different people's opinions on this. And one mom was like, oh, I never spank my child. Never do that. I've screamed and yelled. And yeah, I've given, you know. And she went on and on. She said, but I've never spanked because I've never had to. And uh-huh. And so, I mean, there can be, you cannot spank a child and do way more harm than even someone that spanks them because.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem, really what parents need to do is follow Jesus's recommendations, if you will. I mean, he didn't talk much about parenting, and there isn't much about parenting in the Bible, but his orientation would be one of love, gentleness, forgiveness, patience. And that's what parents need to remember. And they need to think about, why am I getting so upset over this, my child's behavior?
Hmm.
And if they remember that kids will grow out of most of this stuff with good, positive guidance and appropriate discipline.
Okay, Dr. Holden, we need to go to a break. When we come back, I did say we're going to find, we have somebody who was at that Presbyterian General Assembly who can tell us about the discussion that happened there. So that's going to be a fascinating discussion. Again, you're listening to Up for Debate on 90.1 Moody Radio Chicago. I'm Julie Royce. Number to call, 312-274-9624. Again, 312-274-9624.
Hi, I'm Dennis Rainey, host of Family Life Today. Throughout my years of ministry, I've witnessed the pain and pressure that drug abuse has on families.
Hi, I'm Aaron. All I've known my whole life is just destroying my body with drugs and destroying my family and their hopes in me. My parents and my grandma have been praying for me to come to Teen Challenge for the last 5 years. And wow, I wish I would have came 5 years ago because this program has really done a lot for me. It's just a miracle what God has done in my life ever since. It's just life-changing. I never thought I'd come to this point where I could actually see the change happening, and I'm there. I just thank God.
If you or your loved one needs help, my friends at Moody Radio encourage you to consider Teen Challenge. For more than 50 years, they've been helping both teens and adults find a life of freedom through Jesus Christ. You can learn more by calling 417-581-2181 or by visiting teenchallengeusa.com.
Question: if you could do something in the next few weeks that would help bring dozens, maybe hundreds of people to Christ, would you do it? Become a Harvest Ambassador and approach pastors and church leaders in your community to be a part of an historic nationwide day of proclamation called Harvest America with evangelist Greg Laurie. Harvest Ambassadors will help arrange host venues all over the country to receive a live feed of the Harvest Crusade from Southern California on August 26th. Any church can take the feed if they're willing to invite their congregation to reach out to the local community for the sake of the gospel. Would you be a Harvest Ambassador to help contact church leaders with this invitation? You'll get inside information and training from a series of free webinars. Be a part of changing lives through Harvest America with Greg Laurie.
Let's do what we can to reach our country for Jesus Christ.
Get details at 1-800-CRUSADE.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. In his weekly radio and internet address today, President Obama once again went on the attack against those he considers to be wealthy, making over $250,000 a year, and members of Congress who he says are just playing politics by resisting his attempt to raise taxes on the 2%. The Republicans, on the other hand, said that the president's desire to raise taxes, even for the wealthiest Americans, could be bad for the economy because many of those companies are the ones who create jobs and are struggling right now. The Green Party expected to nominate a doctor who once ran against Mitt Romney for Massachusetts governor a decade ago. It will be the presidential candidacy falling to him today at the party's convention. Dr. Jill Stein, actually, is not shy about admitting her candidacy is something of a long shot. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week up 204 points, 12,777. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to Up for Debate. I'm Julie Royce, and today we're discussing corporal punishment. Is it okay for parents to spank their children? One of my guests, Annie Huerta, a staff counselor with Focus on the Family, says yes, spanking, if done right, can be an effective tool to train children. Another one of my guests says absolutely not. Dr. George Holden, a professor at Southern Methodist University, says spanking is outdated and it's an ineffective tool that can lead to aggression and anxiety in children. He supports a recent resolution passed by the Presbyterian Church USA that calls for an end to corporal punishment. A number of you I know are on the line. You want to comment on this, and I want to get to your calls. Again, the number to call, 312-274-9624. Again, 312-274-9624. Or you can email us upfordebate@moody.edu. That's upfordebate@moody.edu. And I will get to those calls in just a minute, but I want to bring on right now Dr. Nancy Ramsey. And Dr. Ramsey served as a moderator for the committee that actually passed the spanking resolution at the Presbyterian Church Assembly. And then, as I understand it, Dr. Ramsey, then you sent it to the floor of the General Assembly where it was discussed and voted on, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and it passed very narrowly. It was, from what I understand, 306 voted against the resolution, 334 voted for it. You witnessed the discussion both in committee and on the floor. Were there some really passionate opinions expressed on this topic?
Well, Julie, the vote, let me start with the committee. The vote in the committee was 37 for, 11 against. So in a context in which we had a longer time to discuss the motion or the overture and to really explore the rationale, the vote was obviously quite different than it was on the floor.
Hmm. So you felt like those who got to consider it more were swayed by the arguments that were presented, a number of them that Dr. Holden, our other guest this morning, presented.
Mm-hmm.
And you were convinced by them as well. Could you explain why you found them convincing?
Sure. I want to be clear that in the context of moderating the committee, I didn't vote. But on the floor, when it was the General Assembly, I did. And I did support and do support the resolution. I think it's also important for your guests to understand that when the General Assembly passes something like this, it's for guidance, and we understand it's not binding on Presbyterians.
Mm.
I would say that the members of the committee, there were 57 members of the committee, took really listened very carefully to the guidance in Scripture for the dignity and worth of each person, and we certainly reflected on the way in which Jesus describes his care for children and encourages our care for children. We took very seriously the report from the Overture Advocate who came from here in Grace Presbytery, which is in North and East Texas, who is familiar with children who have experienced physical abuse, and who encouraged us to pay attention to the kind of social science data that we have for the number of children who do experience physical abuse, one in five, between one in five and one in six, and that's obviously a conservative estimate since children are not able to report it very easily, but also the kinds of what Dr. Holden has already described, the consequences for a number of children who do experience striking or hitting or slapping, which is the context of corporal punishment. We were really struck by the contradiction of how hard it is for children to pay attention to, I'm doing this because I love you, the difficulty in interpreting that experience. And one of the things that we were struck by was the irony that in the United States, that the schools and child care facilities are a context in which it is legal to strike children in order to inflict pain. So I would say that thinking about what Danny said a moment ago about sin and children, we were probably paying more attention to the way to sin as it might be evident in the behavior of adults who can easily persuade ourselves that this we've stayed within the line, so to speak, how easily we might rationalize striking children that becomes excessive. And while that was not explicitly articulated, I think it is clear that we were paying more attention to the vulnerability of children to adult behavior.
Well, can I bring something up? Because we've talked about, like, the Old Testament passages about rod, you know, because it does reference the rod of discipline several times. And whether that's metaphorical or whether that's literal, just reading Proverbs 23:13, it says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die." That sounds to me like it's talking about something pretty literal there. Would you agree?
Well, actually, I don't agree with you. And okay. I that was not explicitly discussed in the committee. I do think that we were more persuaded by the overall sense of Scripture in assuring the dignity and worth and protection of each human being as a child of God.
But the Lord does discipline us. In Hebrews, it talks about the Lord's discipline and that it is helpful for us. I mean, do we tend to take on sort of a worldly idea of what discipline is? I mean, a biblical idea of discipline is that it's for our own good, isn't it?
Well, discipline, we certainly, the committee was persuaded by the kinds of arguments that that Dr. Holden was describing, that, you know, one of the things we have learned over millennia is, and we continue to learn, are more effective means of discipline. So I would say, you know, within the Presbyterian Church, where we come from the Reformed tradition, which certainly takes Scripture very seriously as the authoritative Word of God, mm-hmm. part of that authority lies in the historicity of the document. That is, that it reflects history of a community of faith across millennia. And some of the marks of that history are that there are descriptions of behavior or guidance that we now see clearly as marked by their history of millennia past. So we felt that it was important to recognize that we have more effective tools now, really, for discipline. So the committee was not against discipline. The committee mm-hmm. Was paying attention to means of discipline that would not carry the additional problem of perhaps unintended consequences for children who were traumatized by that violence.
Okay. Dr. Ramsey, again, a professor there at Bright Divinity School. We have just really our phone lines jammed right now. Let me give our listeners a chance to weigh in on this discussion. Let's go to Stan in Des Plaines. Good morning, Stan. You're on Up for Debate.
Hi, everyone, and good morning.
Morning.
And I hope you have a happy Saturday. I don't have children, but I was spanked every so often as a child, and I turned out okay. And I think the panel and the committee that's against corporal punishment is taking the Scripture out of context, where it says, spare not the rod. parents aren't going to come after a kid with a rod. I mean, if that's the case, then, yeah, that's definitely wrong. But a swan on the back end, I don't see that as corporal punishment. And when your guest that was just on said they are looking for maybe different ways of discipline. Well, when I was a child, if that, I got a timeout, I had a picnic. I had drums, guitar, piano. You know, I mean, I was studying music. I was like, man, this is great. Give it more to me.
Now,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Danny Huerta is a counselor with Focus on the Family. And Danny, that would not be an appropriate timeout, would it, to allow a child toys and drums?
Usually using the stairs or something like that where there's nothing else and it's not the most comfortable place to sit.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's a good place to be without anyone around there. That'd be a better timeout.
Okay. Let me get to another call. Thank you so much, Stan, for that. Let's go to Roberta. She says, hi, Roberta from Chicago. You're on Up for Debate.
Okay, yeah, well, this is kind of interesting, I think, for you, because my daughter is now 52. So we're going way back in time.
Wow.
And we're very close. We've always been very close. We have a wonderful relationship. I was divorced after 3 years of marriage, so we've been very close for the years. And we sit around and we discuss these things. She didn't get married, so she doesn't have any children. But yet I said, you know, in remembering, as far as punishment, when she was little, she says, you know what, I remember. She says, of course she got that occasional, if her hand was going towards a candle on a table, she'd get a quick slap, of course. Mm-hmm. Or something now and then. But she says, I particularly remember one time it was winter. It was very dark early. She went sledding with her friends in the park. It's 4 o'clock. It's dark already. She did not come home. Mm-hmm. She was only 15 minutes late, but I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how and I call this lazy parenting when they just give them a quick spanking, which I could have done at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I kept her in for 3 weeks. Picture 3 weekends of her looking out the window saying, but I want to go out and play with the kids. I say, no, you just remember that you're not going to do that again. And to this day at 52, she remembers that better than a quick spanking.
Wow. Yeah, there are other ways of disciplining for sure that need to be in our repertoire. By the way, I want to mention that Focus on the Family has made available to us a DVD on parenting. There's 3 of those available. And if you'd like one, again, we just have a limited quantity, but you can go to our Facebook site. To get there, go to www.upfordebate.org and click on the Facebook tab. Again, upfordebate.org, click on the Facebook tab. If you'd like that DVD, we also have a number of resources listed there with articles and further reading if you'd like to do that on this topic. All right, let's take another call. We have Godwin from Chicago. Godwin, good morning. You're on Up for Debate. Good morning, Godwin.
Very much.
Hi.
I believe spanking is the best form of discipline.
And why do you think that?
Yes. It is generally noted that in families where children have some form of spanking, they tend out to be well-behaved, well-cultured, and well-mannered than families where there is no discipline at all.
Mm.
So, yes. By observation, by a large amount of observation, families where children are not disciplined or spanked, they turn out to be very arrogant. I mean, that sort of thing. So I believe spanking is the best form of discipline.
All right, Gavin, thank you for your opinion. Let's go to Ronald in Leywood. Good morning, Ronald.
Hi. I was a very incorrigible child. I was stiff-necked. I remind myself of Israel. If there was trouble to get into, I was getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it a lot. I got spanked a lot, and I didn't get it as much as I needed it. And I hated my parents for doing it. I hated getting spanked, but now I love them all the more for what they did. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what they were trying to do, but eventually it got through to me. And like it says, foolishness was bound up in me, and that was a perfect description of myself. And I shudder to think how I would have turned out if I had not gotten it. Because I was a very tough customer.
Thank you for that comment. Let's go to Dennis in Palatine. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning, Julie. I'm not an expert in Hebrew and all that, but just some other passages in Proverbs. Now, obviously, this doesn't deal with children, but Proverbs 14:3 talks about, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back.
Hmm.
And Proverbs 26:3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. So it seems like at least the way the word rod is used there sounds like not just a symbol of authority per se. The other thing, and I'm not an expert on shepherding and all that, but what I've heard over time to time, your one guest said, you know, you've never heard of a shepherd taking a rod to a sheep, you know, striking a sheep. But what I've also heard is shepherds breaking the legs of sheep when they don't seem to get the lesson that the shepherd is trying to teach them. So I'm not suggesting we break legs of children or anything, but just that I think we want to look at the full context if we're going to look at the history, and animals are treated different than humans. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, Dr. Michael Rodelnik's coming on next hour. We'll have to ask him about that whole shepherd breaking the legs of the sheep. I've never heard that before. Again, you're listening to Up for Debate on 90.1 Moody Radio Chicago. I'm Julie Royce, and joining me this morning, Danny Huerta, a staff counselor at Focus on the Family, Dr. Ramsey, a professor of pastoral theology and counseling at Wright Divinity School, and Dr. George Holden, a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University. Coming back, we'll get to more of your calls. 312-274-9624, the number to call. 312-274-9624.
Everyone, this is Nancy Turner. Each day at 10 a.m., I am so thankful to have time with you on our program called This Is the Day. Our prayer is that we can bring you a song, a book, a word that will bring you closer to Christ. Right now, we're in the midst of our Faith and Fitness Challenge, and if you've not signed up, I hope you will right now at thisistheday.fm and just click on that Faith and Fitness banner. We'll support and encourage each other along the way. This is the day, 10 a.m. on Moody Radio Chicago.
You can find Bible teachers these days who will tell you that if you're walking with God, you'll be healthy, you'll have money in the bank, your husband will be crazy about you, and you won't have any dry time spiritually. But then I look at Jesus. Mark's gospel tells us that the Spirit drove him into the desert. Jesus hadn't sinned. He was right with God and full of the Holy Spirit. Yet he faced 40 uncomfortable, lonely days in the desert, undergoing intense temptation. Sometimes we find ourselves in a desert because of our own sin. But that's not always the case. Like Jesus, we may enter a dry, difficult time so that God's good purposes can be fulfilled. Don't get discouraged. Even though he may seem a million miles away, he's with you. The next time you experience the desert, remember this. You're only following the footsteps of the Savior. With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy Lee DeMoss.
What if you could take a whirlwind tour of the Middle East in just under 1 hour? Imagine that. And what if during that hour, you could also explore every location that's making headlines this week in the Middle East? Would that be cool or what? Actually, that would be this week's edition of The Land and the Book with Dr. Charlie Dyer. So join Charlie and his guest Omer Eshel this week on The Land and the Book, Saturdays at 1 o'clock on 90.1 FM, Moody Radio, Chicago.
Well, Scripture says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, actually, it says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Does that mean the Bible endorses spanking? Hi, I'm Julie Royce, and welcome back to Up for Debate. And as we've been discussing, the Presbyterian Church USA last week passed a resolution calling for the end of corporal punishment. Some Christians think this resolution goes against the clear instruction of Scripture. Others say the resolution just brings parenting into the 21st century. It's consistent with biblical themes of love and mercy. And by the way, next week we're going to be discussing whether it's appropriate to leave your church. Many churches today are straying from Orthodox Christian teaching, affirming gay unions, rejecting belief in hell or the inerrancy of Scripture. Where should we, as Bible-believing Christians, draw the line? We'll discuss that next week with someone who actually chose to leave her denomination over this kind of issue, and someone who decided to stay in a denomination and work for reform. That's next week at 8 a.m. on Up for Debate. Well, back to the topic of corporal punishment, I just got an email from Steve who said, you know, it seems like the effectiveness of corporal punishment would be better measured by a study of adults who were spanked versus those who were not spanked as children. So I'm curious, Dr. Holden, George Holden is with me. He is a professor at Southern Methodist University. Dr. Holden, you sort of have your finger on the pulse of all these different studies. Do we have any studies like that?
Oh, there are dozens. there's probably 300, at least, 300 studies in this area, and looking at lots of different questions related to corporal punishment and when children were spanked and associations when they were both in terms of their child behavior but also later behavior as adults. As Danny mentioned earlier, there it's a complicated area to study,
mm-hmm.
and so there's no perfect study that can definitively answer a question about the effects. But what we do know is that there is one clear positive effect of corporal punishment, and that is immediate compliance. The child will not continue misbehaving right after he gets spanked or she gets spanked.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots, there's more than, I think there's 10 different unintended negative consequences, and the most common being aggression, both in childhood and then later in life. Children who are spanked are more likely to wind up in prison, more likely to hit their partners. They're more likely to be child abusers, et cetera.
Hmm. Danny Huerta, a counselor with Focus on the Family, also joining me. Danny, how do you respond to that?
Again, those studies cannot be replicated. There's so many, again, so many variables that have to be considered in that it's impossible to predict that if a child is spanked, you know, the frequency of that could be they were spanked 200 times as compared to 3 or 4 or 5. And the studies are really, they're not scientific at all. And really, we need to use common sense in parenting more than the research. So,
And what would you say, just quickly, because I know we're getting short on time, but what would be the boundaries you would put on a parent, you know, as far as spanking?
Well, I would. Okay, first of all, our society is very overwhelmed, tired, stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so really self-regulating as a parent, you have that responsibility to take care of yourself and your world in order to be ready to parent. Because parenting takes a lot of energy, a lot of attention, a lot of selflessness. And many times society lends itself to the opposite of that. So that's the first thing, the first boundary for a parent is really knowing how to take care of themselves and self-regulate.
About then, 30 seconds. Sorry.
Okay. And so I would say that what the boundary is, you want to do it without anger. If you need a timeout yourself before you do that. And then you follow up with really connecting with your child and loving on them and giving them some tools of how they can handle that emotion the next time.
And you encourage between the ages of 18 months and 5 years only, correct?
6 years, really.
Six years. 5 to 6.
Yeah,
5 to 6, okay. And Dr. Holden, thank you so much for joining us. Quickly, about 30 seconds, some alternatives to spanking that you recommend.
Well, it has to be age appropriate. So mm-hmm. if it's a very young child, just diverting their attention. Mm. And then as it gets older, you can use timeout and then as they get older, withdrawal privileges. What you want to do is go after what's motivating them and then manipulate that motivational system so that they learn to listen to the parent and to behave in the appropriate way.
Okay. Thank you so much to all of my guests this morning. Dr. George Holden, a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University. Dr. Nancy Ramsey, professor of pastoral theology at Bright Divinity School. Danny Huerta, a staff counselor at Focus on a Family. I want to thank all of you and all of you who called in. Here's my opinion. I think Scripture does support corporal punishment. Again, Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." But again, I agree with Danny. Needs to be done in certain parameters, and we need to be careful about those parameters. That's my view. If you'd like to send us yours, please email us at upfordebate@moody.edu.